going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Doug Oster, DougOster.com. It's your Pratt Pack. Welcome to the program. It's Easter. It's the final day of Passover, and it's time for you to join us with all of your gardening needs. As far as questions are concerned, 866-391-1020. And the 10th caller right now at 412-922-1020 wins a gift certificate from Sorgles. And Doug simply said earlier this morning, where's Paul Bunyan when you need him? What happened?
Well, I came down the driveway, and there was a huge... I mean, huge branch from an oak tree, big enough where I couldn't even budge it in the middle of the driveway. And so I was trying to figure out, well, will I go back and will I call in or what will I do here? And I was looked at the distance between the side of the driveway and the tree, and there were some branches, and I got an old truck. So I just went through and got here. So
you made it.
Yes. Happy Easter, everybody. This is a great day today. Great sunrise today. I've got a wonderful guest coming on in just a little bit. Christy Wilhelmy is the author of High Yield, Small Space Organic Gardening, Practical Tips for Growing Your Own Food. We're going to have fun talking to her. And just a reminder, Rob, it's too early to put anything in that will be killed by frost. You know, we see these nice temperatures like this, and people think, oh, it's time. I've been at places where they've got tomato plants sitting there, and we can't put our tomatoes or our peppers or our beans or our impatiens, things that are tender, in until another month from now, in May. It's too early, and longtime gardeners will know this, but we've got a lot of new gardeners, and we picked up a lot of new gardeners through COVID, and they don't have the experience that we do to know that just because it's getting nice like this that we can't put their plants in. They shouldn't sell you anything that could be killed by frost this early. I did a segment on KDKA TV for Pittsburgh Today Live. We had a lot of fun there where I got... the talent, Daisy and David, to eat pansy flowers. and so that was interesting. A lot of times, normal people will not do that. So we planted a container with lots of early crops, like the things that I'm planting now, your lettuces and arugulas and Swiss chard and beets, carrots, radishes, all this early stuff. We did a container with lettuce and pansies. I love to put a pretty lettuce together with the pansies. And I am going to be, next Saturday, I'm going to be at Hearth and Home Furnishings in Zeelianople doing a special container gardening demonstration. I went there last year. We had a lot of fun. I'm going to build a container. They're going to give you refreshments. We're going to build a container, and somebody's going to win that container that I'm building. It's $20 a person, and all the information you can find it at DougOster.com. I'm looking forward to that in Zelenople. I'm sure right after that, I will go right to Lake Arthur. And I saw a bald eagle yesterday, Rob, which is so exciting. We thought those eagles were going to be extinct when you and I were in school. Well, me anyway. It was much earlier for you, you know. But maybe they didn't know about it yet. But when I was in school, they thought that a bald eagle was going to be extinct. And luckily, it's been the comeback story that we all love. And just saw that white tail soaring around a corner on the river. It was amazing. Now, Joham's Daffodil Garden is open today on Easter. You might not be able to see anybody there. It depends on what time you go because they'll be celebrating the holiday. But it's in its peak. If you love daffodils and you're looking for something to do today before your Easter dinner, it's in northern Washington County, and that's where at DougOster.com I've got how to get there and what you'll see. I'm going to get down there this week again just to see the late ones. The garden is going crazy with all this early stuff. It's been fun. What's the caller, Rob? Is there a caller on there?
There is a caller.
Well, let's go. Let's go for it. I got some other things to talk about. We want to get our caller before we get our guest on here.
Hey, Tom. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
What's going on?
Daffodils were great this year.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of them are still struggling and still blooming. But when is the best time, and should I remove the flower stem to encourage blooming next spring?
So for daffodils, we do not have to do that. I learned that from a guy named Roger Swain. He was on the old Victory Garden show, and he says even we don't have to even cut down the after the flower's done, those little seed pods that the plant makes. And over the last 30, 40 years, I've had great luck with my daffodils reblooming without worrying about that. I'm telling you, Tom, it is just going out there in the morning and picking those daffodils and putting them in a vase. It's just to die for. Now, if your daffodils aren't blooming, I've got a video at DougOster.com that shows you where you can lift that clump, separate it, and replant it. And that will, sometimes they just, after years, they get too crowded. And so how are yours looking, Tom? How long have they been out there?
Oh, probably 15 or more years.
And are they doing their thing?
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. And you should add more next year. This is the time to look at where things are blooming and where they aren't, and just draw a little map or take a picture, and you can just have an idea where things are going to be planted next year. I'm doing that right now. I'm putting stakes in the ground, and so I know where to plant in the fall. I want more daffodils.
And as far as the leaves go, do not remove them ever. Is that correct?
I prefer to leave them on there as long as possible. My friend Brent Heath from Brent and Becky's Bulbs, which is a great place to get your bulbs, they're in Gloucester, Virginia. He says about 8 weeks after they're done blooming, you could remove the foliage. I just say let them die on their own because they'll give the energy back to the bulb. Okay, does that help you?
Great, thank you very much.
Well, might as well talk to John there, Rob, if we have time.
Yeah, we got time. John in 84 PA, you're on the air with Doug Oster, DougOster.com.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, kind of wondering if it's a little too early to plant grass seed.
It is a little early. You could get away with it, but after this week, you want that soil temperature to warm up a little bit. If you could wait, it's going to be better. The main thing to know is you've got to keep that grass seed moist until it sprouts. And so when things are cool, it takes a little longer to sprout. When you put that grass seed down, maybe put a little compost on top. If it's a big area, we use, usually use straw on it. Just, again, you want to keep that seed moist. I just talked to a guy from Davy Tree. His expertise is lawns, and I was asking him the same question. Are we too early for that seeding? And you could get away with it. Like if today was a day that you just said, okay, this is the only day I have to put down my seed, it would be okay. It's just going to take longer to germinate. And I say wait a week if you can. All right.
Gotcha. Thank you very
all
much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. What's coming up?
Our guest is Christy Wilhelmy. She's the author of a great new book, High Yield, Small Space Organic Gardening. And she's from California. She's a friend of mine, and the book is amazing.
All right, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back. And we've got that guest lined up still to come, that Janoski's gift certificate to give away, more of your calls. Next hour, it's all about Easter traditions, obviously the final day of Passover, too, one of my favorite periods on the calendar as well. And then at 8 o'clock, after Frank and I are done, it's going to be another incredible day that'll take us all the way until 1 o'clock, including the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. Here's what we got in store for you. Countdown to the NFL draft. Will Shedeur Sanders drop to that 21st position for the Steelers? Joe Butler, many years behind the brand Metro Index, really knows football talent, will join Greg Diolis and I in the first segment. And also Alex Childs with Neil Shipley, Central Catholic grad, winning his first time on the tour yesterday. We'll talk about that. We'll look back at Rory McIlroy's big win at the Masters, getting ready for Quail Hollow and the PGA Championship. And then in June, it's the U.S. Open Championship. So we'll talk a little golf. But today, the Pirates in Cleveland, of course, after really missing out on a great opportunity with Paul Skeens, who went seven innings and struck out four and only gave up two earned runs. They got shut out, so they'll wrap up their series with Cleveland today, and we'll talk about the Pirates and why Cleveland is kind of the blueprint that I think the Pirates could follow as far as success for future years to come. All of that still to come today right here on KDKA with your Pratt Pack. Back with Doug Oster, DougOster.com and The Organic Gardener right after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm excited to welcome Christy Wilhelmi back to the show. She's the author of High Yield, Small Space Organic Gardening, and founder of Gardener.com. Good morning, Christy. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, I should say.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a while since we've talked.
So founder of Gardener.com, but are you also a garden nerd?
Yes, very much so. I think that that name is, it speaks for a lot of people, but I certainly, I meet people all the time who identify as garden nerds, where they get really deep into the subject and they know they can't learn it all. So it's folks like us who are just excited to be learning all the time about what you can grow and, you know, how to grow it better.
Well, I want to learn everything I can about high yield, small space, organic gardening. What a amazing title for a book, and especially for a show called The Organic Gardener. So tell me about this book and how things got started.
Sure. This is based on classes I've been teaching since 2008 or so. And it is, well, I have not ever had a lot of space to grow. And I know when you talk to people, sometimes they'll say, oh, I only have an acre. And that's not, for me, what means small space. Small space is I've got a balcony or a patio or a community garden plot. And I started out on a balcony and then a patio and then a community garden plot. And so everything I ever learned is all connected to making the most use of a small space. And so the techniques that I have taught since 2008 are four different methods of biointensive gardening. And biointensive is an umbrella term for growing a lot of stuff in a small space. So it breaks it down into some that are a little more, I would say, obscure or for the nerds at heart, to the simpler, more mainstream things like square foot gardening, which a lot of people have heard of. And utilizing every square inch of space to grow as much as you can, with strategies for how to plan out where those plants go. And there, the book has plant profiles, plant spacing suggestions for small space gardens, and a bunch of other stuff, including recipes at the end. So it's kind of fun.
Tell me a little bit about the planning. When you do make a plan, does it all go in that way, or do you have to fudge it a little bit as you get going?
Well, I'm pretty nerdy, so when I put what I put down on paper most likely ends up in that way in reality, but there's always room to change things up. And I share techniques in the garden about how to place things tallest to shortest from north to south to make use of your existing sunlight and exposure as best you can. I'm always recommending for people to keep their plant families together instead of mixing it up, because then it's easier to rotate your crops from season to season. And then there are some tricks with interplanting and utilizing the space for, you know, like if you've got something big that's going to grow in later but starts out small, how to kind of double up on crop space in that location so you get two crops from the same location.
And how about containers? Is that part of this too?
Sure. I think, you know, for a lot of techniques, what is a container but a square without the circle? So you can adapt square foot gardening to that pretty easily. And a lot of, you know, people use grow pots. And so you can make your plan with these modular components just as you would if you were growing in the ground or in a raised bed.
So talk about the organic aspects of growing, and first off, why that is so important, and how you are able to grow lots of plants really close together organically.
That's a really good question. The soil foundation of your garden is the most important asset you have, and it is your biggest investment, in my opinion. If you don't start with really, really good soil, if you're growing in containers, or if you don't invest in the time to create really good soil where you're growing in the ground or in raised beds, you're not going to be able to produce as much as you could if you were working with soil, you know, that's less adequate. So I think the most important thing I start with in the book is the soil food web and that relationship between us and the soil microbes and our plants' relationship to those microbes as well. And how using biomass, compost, worm castings, and to build up good soil will turn your garden into a fertile environment for growing the best things ever and the biggest things ever.
And then you can grow them close together because you've got all that great organic matter in there and plenty of nutrients to support what's growing.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you do grow biointensively, you do have to have really nutrient-rich soil or else you'll deplete your soil season after season.
So in the book, you've got these lists, 10 best crops for kids, seniors, balconies, patios. Can you give me a couple for kids? Because that's a fun part of gardening is including kids.
Sure. I focus a lot on short attention span crops for kids. So things like radishes that grow really quickly and arugula that germinates very quickly. I like growing peas with kids because that whole idea of growing something that climbs vertically up a trellis is great. Plus harvesting and eating it straight in the garden is, and it's sweet. So a lot of kids will like peas from the garden. I know for myself, my memory as a child, I was a picky eater and I didn't eat peas if you put them on a plate for me, but I would go out into the garden, pick a pod and eat it from the plant.
When you did write this book, what did you hope that gardeners get out of having a copy of it?
I mostly want everyone to feel like they can garden. You know, if they need guidance from the very beginning, I'm there for you. This book is there for you. If you feel like you're a veteran gardener and you just want to try something new, this book is there for you. And I think for a lot of people, if they're afraid to fail, this book will help them realize that failure is part of gardening and it's how we learn. And so this whole, it's written in a casual way. We're sort of communicating on the page and I'm here basically to let you know that just give it a try. If you fail, try again and keep trying until you figure out how it works because that's how gardening works.
What's the best way for people to get a copy of the book and to connect with you?
Well, you can go to gardennerd.com and check out our store because I've got a list of all my favorite places where you can get a copy yourself. I do recommend that people buy copies from their local independent bookstore rather than, I mean, you know, Amazon doesn't need your money. and if you can buy and support from your local bookstore, that's the best option right there.
The name of the book is High Yield, Small Space, Organic Gardening by Christy Wilhelmy. All that information about how to reach Christy and how to get a book is also at my website, DougOster.com. Christy, it was great to see you again. Great to talk to you again. And I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much, Doug.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, sounds good, Colin, but we're back with Doug Oster, DougOster.com, and we want to hear from you. Very simple, 866-391-1020. And if you're the 10th caller right now, you win a $25 gift certificate to Janoski's in Clinton, 412-922-1020. Boy, spring really in the air yesterday, Doug. Beautiful day.
Beautiful day to be floating on the river, that's for sure.
And then waking up to a tree falling in your
and
yard.
And then waking up to a, yeah, I forgot how to get that tree out of there. I got a friend with a chainsaw. We'll be fine.
Isn't it amazing? You and I were talking about our friend Andy and all these, and you and I both got our lawnmowers from EV True Value. Battery-powered yard equipment from chainsaws and trimmers and weed whackers and lawnmowers. It's really made it
actually,
easy.
Actually, today when I saw that, I was like, you know what? It's time. I've got it. Couple chainsaws sitting in there, but they haven't been started in who knows how long. I said, I need to get a nice electric powered chainsaw that I, a situation like this where I can just go out and cut this thing up and then get out of the driveway.
But did you ever think in our lifetime
that would have to be powerful enough? That's the thing. You know, can you imagine a blower and a, that's the last thing I have left is a blower with a gas powered blower. And I can't wait till finally I can get that. It fails and I can get an electric one.
I saw a guy, I was telling Andy and Mike yesterday on their show, somebody actually using a gasoline-powered lawnmower. And it kind of threw me in my neighborhood because I don't see them anymore.
It makes cutting the grass fun. That's my least favorite job, but it's so lightweight and quiet and easy. You know, I don't have a lot of lawn. Maybe a little bit more than you, but not a lot. And it makes life easy.
It does. All right. If you have any questions for Doug, give us a call.
All right. Hold on. Let me. I got a couple things to talk about here before we go to the phones.
Go.
Free online garden classes. My last one is this Wednesday, 5 o'clock. We're talking about secrets for early outdoor planting because it's too early for tomatoes unless you do some of my secrets. And you can save $650 on my upcoming 13-day trip to Sicily and Southern Italy, but you got to book by the end of this month. We're going to Palermo, all of Sicily, a wine tour, tasting, Positano, Sorrento, Pompeii. It's going to be amazing. Everything's at DougOster.com. And one more thing before we go to the phones. Save this date. Sunday, June 1st, 1 p.m., is the 23rd annual Doug Oster Plant Swap and Garden Hullabaloo at Sorgles. Thank you, Sorgles, for hosting us for all these years. And it is so much fun. We come together. You don't have to have plants to trade, but people bring all sorts of crazy stuff, and we trade plants. It's done in a half hour. It's just fun. All right, Rob, let's get to the phones because they're stacking up here.
All right, let's go. Tom in the North Hills. Hey, Tom, go ahead. You're on KDK because the phones are stacking up. Go ahead, Tom.
What's the difference between, I think I pronounced it hummus and compost, and I looked it up on the internet. It just seemed like a lot of double talk as far as the differences are concerned.
So hummus is something that we eat in a Mediterranean dish. Humus is
soil, okay.
But that's okay. Let me tease you a little bit there, Tom. And yeah, they're very, very close. Okay. We're really just looking for compost. Compost, you could call compost humus if you wanted to. It's interchangeable.
Right.
And so you're not going to find anything anywhere marked humus. You know, it's just going to be marked compost or mushroom manure or.
No, I saw some at a store called, and it was marked humus, whatever.
Humus, and, right? Oh, I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's like $2 difference for 40 pounds.
You know, whenever you're buying a bag of anything, I would just buy one bag. Again, if it's $2 cheaper, and see how it is, because a lot of times you get a cheap bag of something, and it's just kind of like, humus could be topsoil.
Right.
Compost is something that's rotted down organic matter, whether it's leaves, whether it's garden waste, whatever it is. And so I guess humus has a wider definition of what it can be, just some kind of earth. And you want good compost. That's what you want. And a lot of times a cheap bag of something, you'll put it into a pot and you'll have trouble growing stuff in it. So be sure you know what you're getting. For organic compost, they have this thing on the bag. It's called OMRI, O-M-R-I. And that's how you know you're getting the good stuff. Go to your local nursery to do this, too. Don't go to, like, some place that can't explain what it is. If you go to your local nursery, they're going to have 3, 4, 5 different types of things that you can use, and you can talk to somebody about it. Just say, listen, I'm making a vegetable bed, or I'm filling a container, or I'm whatever you're doing, and they'll say, well, here's one that costs this, here's one that costs that. You have lots of options, and never be afraid to ask questions when you go to a nursery. They want to get to know you. They want to know, like a guy like me, who's a cheapskate, who when a statue falls over and the head breaks off, they know they can sell it to me cheap. I'll glue the head right back on.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Mary in Cranberry for Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Good morning. I'm heartbroken. I have a beautiful plum tree that has black mutt. And I read that I should trim off all those branches. But what should I also use on it?
So black knot is not the end of the road for your plant, hopefully. Okay? So So let's work on it. The first step I would consider is having a certified arborist look at it. They will come for free. Now, you know, I work with Davey, okay?
Right.
But any certified arborist can do the job. But it has to be a certified arborist. Don't have some chuck in a truck come because he's going to get work from you. An arborist is bound by a code of ethics when they come. They're not trying to sell you something. But let's talk about black knot. So it's this ugly thing that grows on trees, like, you know, fruit trees, ornamental fruit trees. So yes, anything that's infected with black knot needs to be removed from the tree. Remember, when you're doing this, you should have a proper pruning saw. Is it big enough where you're going to need a saw, or is this going to be loppers?
I think most of it's loppers.
Okay. So they should be sharp, and you don't want to take that lopper from that tree to another tree because you'll spread the disease,
right?
Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
So anything that has black knot, we know, must be removed from the tree. So that part you know. And you take that branch back to about 1/4 inch from the tree, and if that branch is so big that when you cut it, it could tear the bark off the tree, we cut out a little ways, about 18 inches out, and we make our cut out there, and then we cut that little stub off so that we don't rip that bark off. Because you rip that bark off, you're opening up that wound for more of the black knot. What percentage of the plant has black knot?
I'm looking at it out the window here. It just started this year, and you're saying to take the branch off, and my first thought there was, well, a lot of it's on smaller branches. So I take the whole branch off?
Any place you see that, yes, any branch that has at the end has black knot should be removed. So if you have a bigger branch and there's little ones out there, the entire big branch has to be removed because that's where the disease is.
Okay, it's at least, it's starting at the bottom, and maybe 25%.
All right, well, I would get to that sooner rather than later.
Yeah, okay. And is there something, a fungicide or anything I should use also after the fact?
That's a good question. That one I'm going to have to look up. But we know we have to remove that infected wood, and then I'll look up, see if a fungicide will help.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that after the break.
All right, we'll take a break. Anybody else? Our lines are wide open. We have available space for you for the first time in a while this hour, so jump on the line, 866-391-1020. Back with more Doug Oster, DougOster.com, the organic gardener, on KDK in just a couple of minutes. All right, Doug's got some stuff he's got to fill you in, and we're going to get to these phones. Go ahead, Doug.
Okay, for black knot, yes, fungicide is a good idea. We've got four callers. I want to get to all of them by the end of the show. If I don't, stay on the line. I'll talk to you privately when we're done with the show.
Mary, you're on KDK. How you doing, Mary?
Okay, I'm calling about my butterfly bushes. I have two of them, and they both died on me. Could you explain why they would have died?
Yes, they do that. They are fickle. They will go sometimes 20 years, and they will just give up the ghost. Don't worry about it. It's nothing you did. It's nothing that the environment did. It just happens. Go get yourself a couple more beautiful butterfly bushes. Take those out and put the new ones in, and you'll be good to go.
All right, here's Bernie. Bernie and Irwin, you're on KDK. Hi, Bern.
Hi, I have a fig tree, and I took the tarp off yesterday.
Okay.
And my husband had put all these dead leaves on the bottom to, you know, keep it warm.
Oh, these husbands.
Well, he put the tarp on, too, because I couldn't reach that high. But the bottom has this white, I guess it's mold.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do about
Don't sweat it. Get the leaves off. Keep the tarp out there, because if it gets cold, you want to throw the tarp on top just to make sure that nothing happens. When that came out of dormancy, did it have some leaves? Does it have leaves on it yet or anything on it yet?
No.
Okay, okay. That's okay. Don't worry about that fungus that's on there. Fig trees are indestructible. They will. You'll be fine. Let it dry out in the open sun, and it'll go away, and you'll be fine, and you'll be picking figs in the middle of the summer.
All right, Larry, you're up next on KDK with Doug Oster. Go ahead, Larry.
Hi. I used to bring in a truckload of mushroom manure or mulch, and till that into the garden about 4 inches deep, and I thoroughly tilled it in, and I stopped doing it about 2 years ago, and I've got rock-hard soil and less earthworms. Is it a good practice or bad?
So what was it that you were using? Was it mulch, or was it the mushroom manure?
Mushroom manure. Used to get it from Bakerstown when they delivered.
Right. Well, it's probably just used up everything that you had there. There's nothing wrong with mushroom manure. The only thing that can be a negative is it can be alkaline as far as the pH. As long as you can every once in a while look at your pH, you'll be okay. Can you get some more organic matter like that, some compost or some mushroom manure or well-aged animal manure? Is there anybody that's delivering that in your area?
Sure. And we use a small compost pile, and I till that into the tomato as I plant.
That's great. That's great stuff, but you know you'll never make enough, right? With the size of the garden you're doing. So I would if I could do it the way I want to do it, instead of the mushroom manure, I would get something just called compost, pure black compost if I could find it. If not, the mushroom manure is fine. And I would put a bunch of it on. There's nothing wrong with tilling, but the way I do it is no-till. I'm just building up with compost. Now, you couldn't do that with mushroom manure, but regular compost, I'm just putting, like, now 3 or 4 inches a year on top and planting directly in that, and the plants go crazy. So, but that's up to you.
I used to do this in, I guess, the end of the garden season or in October, and then when I got my garlic in and into the same soil. But come June, I was pulling three large earthworms up every fork I put in for the garlic. So I was wondering if, you know, they're providing me with worm castings.
Definitely, definitely. More organic matter in that garden is going to help you. So find some to be delivered, and you'll be good to go.
All right, one more call before we say goodbye to Doug today. Here's Tom in O'Hara on KDKA, DougOster.com. Hey, Tom.
Hi. I got a question. My
son bought a house in McCandless. The property has a number of very large trees. It looks like it didn't provide a lot of sun, especially for the backyard. And there's a lot of moss. We wanted to get a strategy of how we can get grass to grow back there.
That's going to be tough. Anytime you're under trees like that, it's going to be tough. When we see moss, we know that there's a pH issue. So here's the first thing to do. Get a soil test from the Penn State Cooperative Extension. You get it online. I think it's only $11. And that'll tell you where your pH is. We want to get that pH back to where it's supposed to be, which will be usually is adding lime. And it'll tell you how much lime to add. Then we want fertility. And so then we just talk about fertilizer. And then we want a grass that is specifically designed for the shade. And so get a good shade mix, like a Penn State shade mix. Or there's one I like from a company called Jonathan Green called Shady Nooks. And this is not an ad for Shady Nooks. This is just something that I use in the shade. And so those things will get you going pretty good. And you're going to need to make sure that lawn underneath those trees gets the water that it needs, because the trees are taking the nutrients and they're taking the water. But those three things will get you closer to getting a good grass growing underneath those trees. Just be sure the number one thing is getting that soil test. That's going to make all the difference in the world. All right. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right. Good show, Doug. Thanks. Stay with us. News at 8. And then we're talking Easter traditions on the final day of Passover and more on the Coons Cooking Hour on KDKA.